Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jim. I'm excited to get into today's topic. It's going to be fun.
Yes, indeed. We have an absolutely great, great theme for our show today. Chris and I, we have conversations often, and sometimes it'll go into the history of the Penn State football program. We'll compare eras, players, and we thought it might be fun to do a little exercise with an all-time James Franklin-based Penn State football team. If we went through the full history, that might be a little bit tough, although we might do it one of these days, Chris. But what I wanted to do was create the all-time James Franklin coach team. We'll go position by position. You will tell us who the best player is. And here's a few of the rules that we've established. First of all, no cheating by putting down the five best offensive linemen. You got to have a pair of tackles, a pair of guards, and a center. Chris, I've decided that this was another executive decision. You get three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back. However, with those three wide receivers, I want you to rank them one, two, and three. On defense, The same idea. Not four defensive backs. You need two safeties. You need two cornerbacks. Three linebackers, one of them's got to be a middle linebacker. Defensive line, a couple tackles, a couple ends. So that's the rule.
Old school, Jim. We're going base 4-3 here. I love it.
Base 4-3. We have not picked up Tom Allen's 4-2 defense yet. Before we get started.
I'm a Ron Vander Linden stan here, so 100%.
One last item.
4-3.
You and I were texting for a while about this yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever, and you sent me this text message, and I'm going to quote it, Chris.
Please do.
Jim, if you haven't checked it out yet, you may want to pour yourself a stiff drink before you check out the offensive line, the defensive line, and the linebackers. Chris, I assume you were a bit surprised with the dearth of talent at those positions.
Indeed, Jim. I appreciated the suggestion on its face because I love doing these kinds of things. But once I actually really started digging into it, I came away with one big takeaway. And that is that it may be a fact, Jim, that James Franklin is actually a better coach and a worse recruiter than is popularly believed. When you start to actually look at the 10 years he's been here, and make an all-time team out of the talent he's put on the field at a few position groups. Now, other places, it's an embarrassment of riches. So we'll get into it, I'm sure.
We will, and it's fascinating to me in going through this exercise, Chris. Just like you said, you hit certain positions and you go, wow, look at how much talent is there. And other positions, it's like, wow, look how limited the talent is. So let's start getting through it, Chris, and let's start on the offensive side. Let's start with a couple easy ones. I want to start at running back, okay? Yeah. Might be the most obvious pick, but here's the list of candidates. Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Journey Brown, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. Did I miss anybody that should have been in that group?
If you did, it doesn't matter because we all know who gets this slot. I mean, quite obviously, it's Saquon Barkley, right? A transcendent talent, not just by Penn State, but by college football standards. We were all so fortunate to have been able to watch Saquon put on the blue and white for the years he did. Number two in career rushing yards, number one in rushing touchdowns, number one in yards from scrimmage. And he's also the top receiving back in school history and left us with some unforgettable moments, just in dominant performances like that Iowa game in 2017. So, yeah, to me, this was the easiest pick on the list.
It absolutely was. So I'm going to make I'm going to throw you an extra question on the running backs. If you had to pick out number two, who would it be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There's a number of guys who could go in there. I think, you know, the two backs on the roster right now are definitely in the mix. Journey Brown is in the mix despite his career being cut short. But I would go with Miles Sanders as my number two.
I think you have to. Boy, I would have loved to have seen a full career from Journey Brown. I suspect he might have been number two. Do you think Nick Singleton will pass Miles Sanders before he's done?
The only reason why I would hedge on that is because he's sharing the backfield with Ka'Tron Allen, right? So, nevertheless, that freshman season was pretty special. If I had to bet of how most people would look back and think about their careers, I would actually say yes.
That'll be interesting. It will be interesting to find out. Okay, let's go. Let's move on to quarterback. I've got Christian Hackenberg, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, and Drew Aller.
Yeah, it's hilarious. James Franklin has been here for a decade, and he said as many starting quarterbacks as Penn State had while I was in college. It's just nuts. But as much as I like Sean, I think this was the second easiest pick on the list after Barkley at running back. It's Trace McSorley. I think Trace, Jim, is one of my all-time favorite Nittany Lions, belongs in a conversation with the top four passers of all time at Penn State, with Kerry Collins, Chuck Fusina, and Todd Blackledge. So clearly, I think he's the best of the James Franklin era. And then you just look at his places in the record books. He's number two in career passing yards and touchdowns. He holds the top two spots among single season leaders for both of those categories. He's number one in career and single season touchdowns responsible for. So that's rushing plus passing. And that really speaks to the dynamism he brought to the offense. And that's to say nothing of just his leadership on the field and Kevin Horn's favorite term, his grit. When you put it all together, I don't know that there's 9 or 10 more guys I've enjoyed watching suit up for Penn State more than Trace McSorley. And like Barkley, we were blessed to have him and fortunate to be able to watch him, and doubly fortunate to be able to watch both of those guys share a backfield. Love Trace.
And what he accomplished while here, the Big Ten championship, definitely. Sean Clifford, I would be second. Could Drew Aller surpass either Clifford and or McSorley?
Well, we assume he's probably only got 1 year left, right? And I think, you know, Sean went out on such a high note, leading a Rose Bowl championship team and being MVP of that game. I think Drew will have to do something special in the postseason to get into that conversation.
I agree. And I don't, you know, some folks will say Sean Clifford accumulated his numbers over so many years. But yes, he did. He was here. He led the team. He, as you pointed out, finished on a high note. It would be difficult for Drew Aller to surpass him.
Yeah, all he accumulated wins, too.
yes, he did. All right, here's a tough one. And I know we've got several minutes left, but it still may not be enough. If it spills over into the next segment, that's okay. And that's wide receiver, because you have to pick three of them. List of names: Deshaun Hamilton, DeAndre Tompkins, Saeed Blacknell, Chris Godwin, Juwan Johnson, Justin Shorter, Jahan Dotson, Lambert Smith, Parker Washington, Trey Wallace, KJ Hamler. Where are you going here, Chris? And what it also tells me, there used to be some talent at wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I'm going to give you my three names. And as you requested, I'm going to rank them 1, 2, 3. So I'll read them in that order. I've got Jahan Dotson, Deshaun Hamilton, and Chris Godwin.
That's a good list. And does that, what would you do for one of those receivers on this current team, Chris?
Oh, man, your lips to God's ears. Maybe it's Tysier Denmark. Maybe he's going to come in and blow everyone away as a true freshman.
I would like to, yes, I'd love to see that. You know, and there's a couple other players here, KJ Hamler, Parker Washington, guys who, you know, made their mark while here.
KJ Hamler was a tough cut for me. I think those three guys are clearly a notch above. And when I actually did it mentally in my head, I think maybe because he played through some of the post-sanction teams, I shorted Chris Godwin a little bit early in his career. And I was initially thinking, oh, KJ Hamler is going to make the list. But then when I went back and I dug into their statistics and what they did, I just thought, yeah, okay, these guys are the clear top three.
And you know what? If I'm glad you had Jahan Dotson number one, because I think he gets underrated, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I got a little snapshot on each one of these guys. He's number two on the career and single season receptions list, as well as single season receiving yards and touchdowns. So number two in four different all-time categories at Penn State. He's fourth in career yards, and he's tied for second in career receiving touchdowns with Kenny Jackson at 25. So when you look at that stat line and you think about what he meant to the teams he was on, I put him just a notch above both of these other guys who were also great. And we talk about, you know, Denmark and who can make an impact at wide receiver. All three of these guys made a big splash early in their career, especially Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, they really did. And it's the juxtaposition of where they are now with the group they have now to listing these names and saying, wow. You know, I think of Trey Wallace as having a lot of the skill set to maybe not being able to break that top three, Chris, but at least being able to threaten them with the skill set that he has. But do we have a chance of seeing that?
I really don't want to depress the audience by comparing our previous wide receivers to the current group. Let's just say that we're fortunate to have watched some great players, and these guys are fortunate to have a high standard to live up to, and leave it at that, shall we?
Okay. All right. We will leave it at that. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the offense in quarter number two. The next position we're going to, Chris, might be my favorite on this list, and I'm going to be really curious to see how you evaluate these tight ends, because as I've been saying over and over again, they just come one right after another, and there's more to come. We're going to get to that as soon as we're back with quarter number two.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. Chris, we're doing a special kind of show where we are picking the all-time James Franklin Penn State football team. So far, we got through running backs, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders as his backup, just in case you were wondering, quarterback Trace McSorley, and wide receivers Jahan Dotson, Deshaun Hamilton, and Chris Godwin. Boy, would that be nice, Chris.
And I assume so far, Jim, you and I have picked the same team, right? Because you haven't quibbled with any of my receiver picks.
Oh, no. And how could I? McSorley and Barkley were obvious picks at quarterback.
Sure.
And running back. So
just a couple of notes quickly on the other two wideouts. Sure. Hamilton, number one on career and for career and single game receptions. And single season, he's third all-time. He's second in career receiving yardage, and he's tied for the fourth most receiving touchdowns in school history with Derek Moy and Chris Godwin. They all have 18 receiving touchdowns. And remember that stat. It's going to come up again in a minute. But Godwin is eighth in career receptions and sixth in career yards. So that's three top 10 all time on that list. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And Jahan Dotson, 25 TD receptions. What I kind of like, too, with Dotson and Godwin, both averaged over 15 yards a reception, Chris. I kind of like that stat also. Now is when we are going to test you, my friend.
Let's
talk tight end. Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren. You know what, Chris? I'd be comfortable with any one of these guys as my starting tight end. Who do you have?
Okay, this one was tough, and it came down to Gesicki versus Freiermuth. I think Pat is probably the more complete tight end when you talk about the position, and a great Penn Stater, really embodies everything you want in a Nittany Lion. So no slight to him, but I did give the spot to Mike Gesicki. And you're going to see there's a recurring theme here, spoiler alert. There is a heavy bias toward guys who were part of the 2016-17 team, specifically 2016. The heart of that squad and what they meant to Penn State and what they accomplished to me is so meaningful. I'm still grateful for it. They should be remembered. And, you know, you look at Gesicki's stats, he's number one in career receiving yards among tight ends at Penn State, the 21st overall. And he's the number two tight end behind Pat in receiving touchdowns. But the reason why I gave him the nod is just his big play ability, the clutch plays he made in the most important spots for Penn State after he had a pretty rough start to his career with dropping the football. But when it mattered most, Gesicki came through, and his commitment even was incredibly important to Penn State. Sticking with the commitment he made to the Nittany Lions, made to Bill O'Brien after James Franklin took over, when you put that whole package together, if I'm splitting hairs between Gesicki and Freiermuth, that's what gives him the spot, in my opinion. What do you got, Jim?
You know, I did this without looking at numbers, but more into my memory bank. And you make some good points about Mike Gesicki. And, well, first of all, I like that you brought up early on he had a case of the drops. He really did. And he's an example I use whenever there's another player who suffers from the drops. I never think of that as a fatal flaw because these are collegiate-level receivers. It's not like they're not talented enough to catch the ball. It's usually focus or it lack of confidence. It's something else, and it's fixable. And I use Mike Gesicki as exhibit A of what they could turn into. But for me, the difference maker, what I like about Pat Freiermuth is his blocking, okay? That complete, well-rounded tight end. And I think it's so important at tight end versus, say, a wide receiver. You like them to be able to block, but that's, you know, could Scarlett Johansson cook, okay? I don't care. That's the way I feel about wide receivers and blocking necessarily. But at tight end, I want to see it. And I just remember Pat Freiermuth running over people, burying people, and I like that. And I actually interviewed his mother at one point, and we talked about it. And she talked about, I think it was in the bowl game where he just ran somebody over and how impressive it was and how the family was impressed by it. Just slightly because of that, and it's a little personal bias, I go with Pat Freiermuth. All right, let's go to the offensive line.
It's a fine pick, Jim, and a compliment to both of those guys that it's so close, for sure. I mean, I think it's tough to look at someone picking either one and say, oh, no, that's wrong. Like, clearly you picked the wrong guy. And that's great. It just shows off the talent Penn State's had at the position.
Could Tyler Warren threaten either one of them?
Now, that's why I wanted you to remember the stat about fourth all-time in receiving touchdowns with 18, where you had both Deshaun Hamilton and Chris Godwin tied. If Tyler Warren matches his touchdown catch output from last season when he was the number two tight end with seven he will move into a tie with those two guys and Derek Moy for fourth all time in receiving touchdowns in school history. So, yeah, I think Tyler Warren has the potential to be very much in the mix in that conversation, especially if Penn State has a great season.
I think Andy Kotelnicki will be the decision maker on whether Tyler Warren does that or not. Does he target him enough? It'll be interesting to see, but I'm with you. I think he does have a chance to threaten those other two. All right, let's go to the offensive line. Why don't we start in the middle, Chris, at center? I put down three names, Michael Mennett, Juice Scruggs, and Hunter Norzad. Did I miss anyone?
You did. You didn't have the guy I put on my team.
Who was that?
So this is a little bit of a sentimental pick for me, but not entirely. The guy I picked, and I thought of this the minute you said we're going to pick an all James Franklin era team, is I selected Brian Gaia, who was the starting center on the 2016 team. And to me, he is one of the more underrated contributors to the success Penn State is now enjoying, because the journey he took as, you know, a guy who went through the hell of the scandal and sanctions era and rose to and took his lumps. He had some rough reps earlier in his career, and he rose to be the leader and the anchor of an offensive line that helped Penn State achieve a Big Ten championship. To me, that deserves recognition. And so the improvement he showed over the course of his career, the leadership he brought to a team that really restored the luster to the program, and just the essential role he played in a team that won a lot of games and probably some of the most important games in Penn State history, all demand recognition, in my opinion. So Brian Gaia is my center on the all James Franklin team.
It's an interesting pick. Not the way I would have gone, Chris, but I respect the pick. You gotta give him credit for what
wins,
he did go
Jim,
through.
I love wins, and I love wins I can remember. So, like, beating the crap out of Akron for the 75th time doesn't really do it for me. But, like, who's going to forget that Big Ten championship game? Who's going to forget that win against Minnesota, or the win against Ohio State, or the Maryland game that fell in between? That counts for a lot for me. And if you are a leader and a key component of a team like that, you get the bias every single time.
And by the way, that Big Ten championship game, if it ever comes up again, you know, on the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten in an hour, it's worth a rewatch. Trust me on that. And you know what? If you go by winning and winning championships, I want to say Saeed Blacknall on my all-time James Franklin team, just for what he did in that game, Chris.
If we had a flex spot, I would definitely have him in the mix for it, for sure. Yeah, love him.
You weren't with us during that era, but we always talked about having our man crushes, our favorite players. Blacknall was one of my favorite players. I can never explain why, but he was. It just seemed like every catch he made was a big one, Chris. All right, let's go to some of the other positions. Let's go to guard, working our way out. Long list of names. I'll just throw out some: Ryan Bates, Steven Gonzalez, Connor McGovern, Sal Warmly, JB Nelson, Vega Ioane, and out of deference to our current colleague, Landon Tengwall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a pretty good list. By the way, who'd you have at center?
I liked Juice Scruggs.
Yeah. Okay. So you told us not to cheat. I will admit, I fudged a little bit. This is the one place where I absolutely cheated just a tad because Juice did his best work at center, but definitely did play a lot of guard for Penn State. So my two guards were Connor McGovern and Juice Scruggs, because I really wanted to give Gaia the recognition for all the reasons I just stated. If I am objectively saying who played the position the best during the Franklin era, I think you got to give that recognition to Scruggs, but he was no scrub at guard either. So I fudged it just a little bit, and you'll just have to forgive me.
You know what? I allow for it, because you know what, Chris? It's our show.
Absolutely.
We can make the rules. So I don't consider that cheating. I consider that following the rules that we made. So you're allowed to go with it. I went Connor McGovern, I think, is the name that I would put in there. Boy, the second one, I let you cheat a little bit, go a little sentimental also at center with your Brian Gaia answer. I'm going Landon Tangwall for my second guard. And if he would still be out there, I don't think we would have any problem with that. All right, you want to sneak in tackle real quick? Just go right to it. Give me your tackles.
I went with Olu and Caden Wallace. There, you have to have Fashanu on there for sure. For sure, I think. Although Penn State's had some good players at the left tackle position under James Franklin. You know, a little bit of Donovan Smith and then Rashid Walker, but Olu's the guy. And as I looked at it and thought about career and thought about Caden's performance this last season, I think he's earned that other spot.
You know, I went the same way also. I had Rashid Walker listed, and that was the debate I had. Caden Wallace versus Rashid Walker. I don't know if it's recency bias on both our parts.
And well, you said no Caden, cheating. I did left, right, man. I did left tackle, right tackle.
that you did.
I did and enough cheating already.
It works. All right. That's it for quarter number two. Quarter three, we're going to start hitting the defense. Stay tuned for that.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. We are going through. We are naming our all-time James Franklin Penn State team. We did the offense in the first two segments. Of course, we had Saquon Barkley as our running back, Trace McSorley as the quarterback, receivers Jahan Dotson, Deshaun Hamilton, and Chris Godwin. What we wouldn't do for them now, Chris. For the tight end, you had Mike Gesicki. I had Pat Freiermuth. For our tackles, we both agreed on Olu, of course, as number one, and Caden Wallace. Underrated, I believe. At center, we went a little bit different. You went Brian Gaia. I went Juice Scruggs. And your guards were Connor McGovern and Juice Scruggs. You had him listed at guard. A little bit of a cheat. We'll just call absolutely that bending. We'll call it bending the rules, Chris. Okay? Mm-hmm. Not cheating. Bending the rules. And you are allowed, because I did the same thing. I had Connor McGovern. And I had our buddy Landon Tangwall as my second guard, who I think was a very talented player. And boy, I wish we could have seen another year of Landon out there. All right. You ready to talk some defense, Chris?
I am.
All right. It could get kind of interesting here. Let's start at defensive tackle. And in my list, I may have missed some names, may not have been perfect here, but I'm throwing out Kevin Givens, Robert Windsor, P.J. Mustafa, Devon Ellis, Akeem Beeman, Zane Durant. Did I miss anyone at tackle?
We can get into it. Maybe the only name you left off there, and he's not a guy on my list, but when I was this is one of these places where I wanted to go have a stiff drink. As I started to look into the position and before I even answer your question, I should say probably the most important defensive tackle on this list on the all James Franklin era team is the one that got away. Christian Wilkins was committed to the Nittany Lions and flipped his commitment to Clemson. And I truly believe that that one recruiting flip is probably the difference between Penn State for sure making the playoffs and maybe winning a national championship and maybe the reverse for the Clemson Tigers. I think he was that kind of player and would have been so important to Penn State's defense that when you're talking about a game of inches, he could have made the difference. But a guy who should be mentioned at least is Austin Johnson, who was on the 2014 team. But I mean, again, like it kind of made me sad that I'm looking at a decade of this guy's career and saying I'm considering, putting on his all-time team a player who was recruited by a coach who died almost 3 years before he was hired at Penn State. So, yeah, shouts to Austin Johnson.
Well, that's a good call mentioning Austin Johnson. I went through the list and we never clarified who, if they were recruited by the previous coach. I guess I was okay with that if most of his career was played under James Franklin. And I didn't even go back that far with Austin Johnson. And I'm glad also that you mentioned Christian Wilkins. What's interesting with him, that defensive tackle position, I truly believe defensive tackle and quarterback are the toughest positions to recruit. Yeah. And they're probably the two positions Penn State has done the poorest at recruiting. And until Drew Aller got here, the highest quarterback recruit that James Franklin had was Sean Clifford. And he was ranked like number 200 in his class. And that was the highest ranked quarterback that he had brought in until Drew Aller, which is just phenomenal to me. And I think it's been the same way at defensive tackle. They just do not get stars. And the closest they got was Christian Wilkins. And I'm with you. He would have been a difference maker. So, Chris, I'm sorry. You still got to pick a couple tackles.
Yeah. So the two I went with were PJ Mustipher and Robert Windsor. To talk about Windsor first, I will say that, he was a long time and solid contributor to the team. Again, it's no slight to these guys, but when you're talking about that position and the best players at it, Noble talks about this all the time. There's really only, maybe two or three, if you're lucky, four or five real creatures, real game wreckers in every recruiting class, and they're all going to the same places. So everyone's struggling to recruit a game-changing defensive tackle. But when you talk about changing a game, we can never forget Windsor and the 2019 Iowa game that he pretty much took over single-handedly. So that alone is probably enough to earn him a spot on this list. But solid numbers, 120 career tackles, 19 for loss, 13 and a half sacks, forced two fumbles, recovered three. Mustipher, for all the struggles he had with injury, we all remember, again, talking about a more cursed Iowa game at Kinnick Stadium, the game where he got hurt. But production and leadership over the course of his career, a really important part of two New Year's Six winning bowl teams, 145 career tackles, 11 for loss, only three sacks. But again, that was not really his role in the defense. But for PJ, mostly, I just think about leadership, example he set in the locker room, what he did, glue guy that held the whole defense and the whole team together. I feel really good about having two guys that you really enjoyed watching play at those two spots. But again, probably one of the positions that has been lacking from the recruiting standpoint during James's time here.
Yes, it really did. And here was my cheat. I took PJ Mustipher, and then I moved on.
I told you, right? Pour yourself a drink.
Yeah, Windsor, not a bad second choice. Kevin Givens, maybe I'm tainted by his NFL career as, a possibility there.
No, Givens was in the mix for me for sure. It's just that he was more of a rotational guy than Windsor was. And again, you talk about, I can off the top of my head remember one superlative performance out of him against an opponent we all hate and love to see Penn State beat, especially on the road. So that meant a lot.
I think we also forget, that PJ Mustipher injury and how much that affected the team also. Big time. That gets forgotten. Could any of the current tackles break into this group?
Yeah, Potentially, because as we just stated, there's not a lot of competition, and it's going to depend on winning big games. People remember your name if you play big in big games. Simple as that.
All right. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see that, Chris. Let's go to the defensive ends. A little bit better group here, Chris. Garrett Sickles, Shaka Toney, Itur Gross-Matos, Adafe Owe, Nick Tarburn, Adisa Isaac, Smith Vilbert, Arnold Ibikidi, Deni Dennis-Sutton, Chop Robinson.
Yes.
And I didn't put Abdul Carter down yet.
Yeah. No, of course not. A little bit more competitive here. And you talked about, did James or did he not recruit them? I looked at the entire era, the scope of his time here, so I didn't really factor that in. So we're going to be a little bit different maybe. Because my two ends I have are Carl Nassib and Itur Gross-Matos. And you mentioned some really good names there. For sure, Arnold Ebiketie would probably be my on-deck guy. Or actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Probably Shaka Toney would be the next man up, and then Ebiketie after him. And then, yeah, and his Sickles would definitely be in that mix. Ryan Buchholz, Nick Tarburton. But, yeah, if I was going to do a two deep, I would have Nassib and Gross-Matos as my top guys. And then Shaka, who is real close for me, but I just couldn't leave off the school's single season sack leader, newly elected trustee in Nassib. And then, and Ebiketie as well. He gets knocked down a little bit because he was only here for one season, but it was an impactful, important season.
Well, I did leave Nassib off my list, not so much intentionally, it's just as I went through. I kind of went from the start of the James Franklin recruited classes. I should have gone back a little bit further. This one, we are going to differ, and I'm going to plead guilty of a little bit of recency bias, and maybe it's because I just loved also the style of play. I love, Chop Robinson. I know it's recency bias, but just studying him, watching him play to play, he was just a factor every play. That made a difference. And then I was going through it. It was tough. I went Gross-Matos, but boy, I loved Ibikidi. And I think if you watched him closely, again, he was another one of those guys where even if he didn't make the play, he was a factor. You know what I'm saying? If you studied him, watched him on every down, he was a factor. The tiebreaker being he wasn't here long enough. I think if he were here a couple years, I would have given him the nod, Chris.
Yeah, for sure. That's the qualifier on Ibikidi. If we're doing like a per capita production as a Nittany Lion, like the gap narrows considerably. But yeah, I think Itur does. I mean, he's sixth all time on the career sack list. Like, he deserves a spot here. When we're talking about best defensive ends who have played under Franklin, I think he deserves that recognition. But yeah, I mean, no shame for sure in picking Chop, and I'm right there with you on Ibikidi.
Okay, let's sneak in middle linebacker. And this is a little bit tough in putting together my list because guys could move positions, but you had Ellis Brooks, Brandon Smith, Kobe King, Tyler Elsden. Who did I miss in middle linebacker? I feel like I missed somebody.
This one is really tough with the way the linebacker spot has evolved. So I had Jason Kabinda in this spot for me, ninth all time in tackles. And again, just another one of the heart and soul guys of that 2016 Big Ten champion. Yeah, again, like we're probably fudging things a little bit. Put a little Vaseline on the lens, as they used to say, when it comes to middle versus off-ball linebacker. But yeah.
So you had Kabinda as yours?
Yes.
And I did have him listed among the outside linebackers. This one was tough for me. And again, I'm going to probably suffer from a little bit of recency bias. I loved how much Kobe King improved from 2 years ago to last season. I think this year he puts in another good year with some improvement. I think it could be Kobe King. That's it for quarter number three. We'll finish up quarter number four when we get back.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. they've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante. He's Chris Buccanani. We're going through our all-time James Franklin Penn State football team. Chris, we were finishing up. We were talking about the middle linebacker position. You had Jason Kabinda. I didn't have him listed among my middle linebackers, so I was kind of stuck. And maybe this was a little bit of wishful thinking on my part. I put Kobe King down a little bit in anticipation of what he's going to do this coming season. Do you think Kobe King might earn that title from you with a good season this year?
I do. But again, Penn State is going to have a big season. He's going to have to produce like he did last year, and he's going to have to show leadership. To me, just to say a little bit more about Jason Kabinda, there are so many guys from that era, that 2016-2017 era, who I still have so much appreciation and affection for just because of what they meant to Penn State at a critical crossroads in program history. I remember the recording of him at Paternoville. Sorry, I'm not going to call it Nittanyville. I'm going to call it Paternoville until they put me in the ground. Sue me. Before the Ohio State game in 2016, and you could see it in his eyes. When he said, we're going to go out, we're going to beat Ohio State on Saturday night, he meant it. He knew it. And to me, that's something that's been missing from a lot of the teams since. So it's going to take a lot to knock him off my all-time James Franklin team. But I hope Kobe King can do it for all our sakes.
Okay, I'll allow it. Let's go to outside linebacker. And I had Kabinda listed as an outside linebacker, along with Micah Parsons, Jesse Lucada, Curtis Jacobs. And I think you can put Abdul Carter out there.
Yeah. Carter's in the mix for sure. It gets a little complicated now with him changing positions. And we're talking about projecting how that looks and how do his 2 years at linebacker stack up. And by the way, very, very well. He played great from the get-go at linebacker. But again, if I'm defending my Jason Kabinda at middle linebacker pick, the two guys I have would definitely be outside if you put the three of them on the field together. And that's Parsons, who again is like, I think maybe the third most obvious choice after Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley, and Curtis Jacobs. That 2019 season that Micah Parsons had, where he recorded 109 tackles, 14 of them for loss. He had five sacks, four forced fumbles. He was a first-team All-American and Big Ten Linebacker of the Year, and then finished the year up with that monster Cotton Bowl. He was also the first Nittany Lion to lead the team in tackles as a freshman his first year in 2018. It's a damn shame we never got to see the third year in Happy Valley because of all the COVID stuff. But two seasons was enough to land him on this list for sure.
Good choice. And you're right. Micah Parsons was the obvious number one choice. And I'm with you. Boy, if he would have had that third year, he might have been the easiest choice and not the third easiest choice on this whole list. I struggled between Curtis Jacobs and Abdul Carter, and I went Abdul Carter as the second one. And maybe it's just in this fantasy world that I have. I want to see Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter on the field at the same time, Chris.
Boy, that would be awesome, right? Yeah, I can't argue with Carter there. Like I said, two great seasons at linebacker. To me, Jacobs just needs to be recognized for what he quietly contributed over a long period of time. It felt like he was always being overshadowed by somebody with a little bit more pub and quote unquote star power on the field, but just like a really consistent contributor over multiple years. And you look at his stat line. He had 171 tackles, 24 for loss, 9.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 4 recovered fumbles, and a defensive touchdown. Just kind of, to me, speaks to the type of player he was, a real linebacker, you guy who could just do everything and do everything pretty well.
Yes, and I always put his name and Adisa Isaac out there as two guys that I think got overshadowed and underappreciated. I list them both that way. Okay, let's talk cornerback, all right? I've got Grant Haley, John Reed, Joey Porter, Daquan Hardy, Kalen King, Johnny Dixon.
So my two guys are Joey Porter Jr. and Grant Haley. Who you got?
I had Joey Porter, and boy, it was tough. And I know his last year wasn't that great, but Kalen King. I guess I'd like to see Joey Porter and Kalen King run it back again, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the fun part about this is that the criteria are subjective. To me, the character plus production plus performance in big moments. That's an equation I'm going to take every single time, and Grant Haley ticks every single box. A legacy guy who, his parents were Penn Staters, or his mom was. She didn't play football here, obviously. Although she's a pretty tough lady. I bet she could have done pretty well. But committed to Penn State during really tough times and produced in the games where we needed him the most. His career stat line's great, 139 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 picks, and a defensive score, plus one of the most important touchdowns in school history. I can't leave him off the list.
I don't have a problem with that, and it's one of the greatest moments in Penn State football history. I will give you that one without argument. I like that. Safety is interesting. Marcus Allen, Nick Scott, Troy Apke, Keaton Ellis, Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown, Jalen Reeds, Akee Wheatley, and KJ Winston. I think it's fun that the three current safeties all at least made it onto my list, Chris.
Yeah. And I'll give you my guys, but I will preface it by saying the toughest cut on the whole list for me was Jaquan Brisker. I love that guy, and he is one of the best safeties Penn State has had. But my two guys are Marcus Allen and Jair Brown. And I think it's, you can probably predict why I went with Marcus Allen. I mean, first of all, like career production, steps in as a true freshman in the 2014 Ohio State game and plays lights out in his first college football, his first year on campus with all the attention of a national spotlight on him. And from that moment forward, all he did was make plays, be a great presence in the locker room, a leader on the team, dependable player, 5th all-time in career tackles at Penn State, and the other half of that blocked kick returned for a touchdown against Ohio State in 2016. I'm not leaving them off. 2016 guys. You know, have we had a better or more memorable season since? No. So these guys are going to get the bias every single time. And so it comes down to Brisker versus Brown, who amazingly shared a backfield together for a year, which was awesome. Both Lackawanna guys, by the way. And I give Jair Brown the nod for a couple of reasons. Great season in terms of individual stats in 2021. He's tied with 6 other players for 3rd most single season interceptions with 6. But it's the next year, that Rose Bowl season, and the leadership he provided throughout the year, and his performance in that game that tips the scales in his favor for me. Again, make big plays in big games.
I can't say enough
about him as a locker room presence, helping that team get turned around from the disappointment of 2021 to the success of 2022.
It's hard for me to argue the players that you bring up from that 2016 team who did special things, but I'm just such a big Brisker and Brown guy. Both
I know it.
I had Brisker and Brown, and as you said, it's fun that they were on the same team. They did have that great year together, but if I could have them both back again, and that's with this amazing safety group we currently have. I'm hoping, Chris, that after next season, we will have an argument about, boy, this group right now is so good. Would we stack them up against Brisker and Brown when they were together? All right, we have enough time. How about a punter or a kicker, Chris?
I was hoping you'd ask. Okay, so I did I picked Tyler Davis as my place kicker. Once again, Jim, a recurring theme, 22 of 24 in 2016 when we needed a clutch performance the most. The guy came up big. Also, you know, just like a pretty consistent performer over the course of his career at that position for Penn State. I took Blake Gillikin as the punter, all due respect to Jordan Stout. Again, I am going to go back to 2016, and as a true freshman, a punt sails over his head, and if he does not have the wherewithal and the speed, quite frankly, to outrun a four-star wide receiver to the end zone and fall on the ball, so it's a two-point safety versus a six-point touchdown for Ohio State, none of what we just talked about ever happened. So Blake Gillikin's the guy. And I even did a kick returner and a punt returner. And it was Saquon at kick returner and Daquan Hardy returning punts.
Oh, you did go through the whole thing. Boy, I find it very difficult to keep Jordan Stout off my team here, Chris. And I had Blake Gillikin as the punter. You know, is it possible? Can we have Blake Gillikin as the punter, Tyler Davis as the place kicker, and Jordan Stout as our utility kicker? How's that?
I mean, it's criminal to leave Stout off, but 100% I'm going with Blake at punter. And then I just looked at Stout's career numbers as a kicker. And I mean, you see, they didn't let him kick that much. I couldn't justify it. I had already cheated with Juice Scruggs. I couldn't do it twice. And honestly, like if I have a kickoff guy, I'm going Joey Julius.
The big toe. Who's your offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator?
Let's go with Joe Moorhead, and I'm going to have to pick Manny Diaz. All due respect to Brent Pry, who I think is maybe going to have a big bounce back season at Virginia Tech this year. But you can't go wrong with those two guys.
I'm with you. Joe Moorhead, he's the guy on offense. And yes, I would love to have Andy Kotelnicki threaten him. And I hope somebody, Tom Allen, could threaten Manny Diaz, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. All right, Chris, are you comfortable with your all James Franklin team?
Very.
Would they win a national championship?
Probably not. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, yes, definitely. Okay. We are.
All right. We'll take that. All right. Thanks, Chris, for a great show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.